Hey everybody, welcome back to This Moment. You know us and we love having you. Thank you for tuning in to your transatlantic bridge connecting Harlem, USA most days and Stockholm, Sweden most days. Right now it's connecting Los Angeles, California and Lund, Sweden. But as always, it is a deep, deep pleasure to be back in conversation with my co-host and dear brother, Chef Marcus Samuelson. All right, everybody, welcome back. Marcus, my man, it's been a while. It's been a minute. It's been a bunch of days and weeks, man. How are you?
Well, wait a minute. It's been Swedish midsummer, which is like a holiday.
Yep.
You know, it's like a check the box in America. People know about it if you know Sweden, if you have Swedish friends. Mm-hmm. But it's a holiday, How was your midsummer?
It's one of the biggest holidays. I'd say Christmas and midsummer must be, you know, it must be it. And the funny thing is, for me, midsummer has never really been a special occasion because my parents never really celebrated midsummer, being that they're immigrants. And well, my mom had a lot of Swedish friends, but my dad didn't really, integrate in Swedish culture in that way. You know what I mean? He definitely fucks with the seal, you know, he'll fuck with some seal. Yeah. He's the inventor of seal and grits, you know, which is basically
seal and grits.
You get a crossover of you know, down home original style southern food, like a southern staple with the equivalent of Sweden. You take the grits from the south and the seal from just basically poor people's food back in the day.
But midsummer is a huge, you know, for us, it's huge because it's coming from the West Coast, you know, in Sweden. That was kickoff of summer, you know, for us. But, you know, as an adult in New York, it's always fun when you have midsummer. But, you know, but I mean, it's been so many things.
And just to explain it. Just to explain it also to our non-Swedish listeners. Just like you're saying, Marcus, even if I don't celebrate midsummer to, you know, it's not a holiday that means super much to me. It is the start of summer. And now Sweden literally closes for about a month and a half. Like you really will not get, you'll get a lot of auto replies until mid-August. People don't understand how Sweden just shuts down. Like nobody's working. It's semester. That's it. But Juneteenth was made a national holiday, 2021.
Yes.
How was Juneteenth, Marcus? How was your Juneteenth?
I mean, it was big and amazing. It's you know, one of the things that I love about America, you know, there is fights, but there's also push, and eventually the law will change. And this is an example of this. I'm extremely happy that Juneteenth became a holiday, because a lot of people fought for it for a very, very long time. And I just feel like as Black people, we have these, you know, you got to keep the eye on the ball constantly on stuff. But I do think that Juneteenth was something that people fought for a very, very long time. Mm-hmm. And eventually we got the holiday, but obviously it's beyond the holiday. It's also about getting equality, which is a completely different. It's linked to the holiday, but sometimes I feel, don't just give us a holiday, give us equal voting rights instead and stuff like that. That is much, much, much bigger fight.
So we got two national holidays now, Martin Luther King Day and Juneteenth.
Mm-hmm.
Next push needs to be that all they need to do is scratch Columbus Day off the calendar. Just like take that off. We're not celebrating that anymore. And but you're entirely right, Marcus. I mean, Juneteenth or making that a national holiday without keeping the push to actually achieve equality or more equality in the United States becomes kind of hollow.
Yeah.
But having said all that, celebrations are still important. And I mean, no matter if it was made a national holiday or not, it was still celebrated. But I guess this is going to make it even more. This makes it official in a way that it's like an official recognition of like a Black celebration, an African-American, really African-American holiday, you know? I think it's a
Yeah, you got to start
thing.
Somewhere because it's going to be a dialogue in people's homes, particularly people who are mixed or not black. Mm. You're going to be able to talk about it, maybe cook from it, maybe have a celebration around it. Mm. So I think about it from 10, 20, 30 years from now, because all of these holidays started somewhere, and it's not just the day itself. It's the weeks leading up to it, you know. So I do think that it's always better when you have something like this.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Jason, going into summer, touring, which you couldn't do last year, it's back. I saw with your new band that you're going to go out on tour, and perfect time for that is a brand new song, Comme Ci, Comme Ça. Tell us about it.
So Comme Ci, Comme Ça is, I'd say this whole new album that I've recorded is basically just about, it's about putting us, and by us I mean Swedes with an immigrant background, or non-white Swedes, or non-European Swedes, or Afro-Swedes, or however you identify and whoever you are. A lot of the songs and albums that I've created earlier in my career, a lot of them have been, you know, with antagonistic messages of like, let us in, you know, we're here, see us, and has been a lot about Fight the Power has definitely been a theme that runs through my past 20 years as a songwriter.
Yeah.
And I decided for this upcoming album that's coming August 20th that, no, you know, I'm done with asking for permission. I'm done with asking to be let in. I'm done. We are done with asking to be accepted as a part of the story. We are a part of the story. We've been a part of the story for more than a minute. So this is basically just a celebration of that. And I would say that, you know, a song like Comme Ci, Comme Ça, just like pretty much every other song on the album, just celebrates who we are in this country and what we've contributed to this country. And, you know, I haven't outed the album title yet, but the album is going to be called Du Gamla Dunia. You old, you new.
I love that.
But that's also a remix of the first line of the Swedish national anthem. And, and to me, you know, we've talked that it's been called the new Sweden, right? The multicultural Sweden has been referred to as the new Sweden for a long time. I like to think about it now as talking about it as our Sweden.
Yeah.
You know, this is our Sweden because we have, you know, in the United States, in Europe, in South America, in Asia, we have this, you know, a resurfacing of nationalistic tendencies where it's we and them and that constant dichotomy of we and them. We have to protect ourselves against them. And that's been going on here in Sweden for a while, too, as you know, Marcus. And I just feel like, no, man, I want to talk more. I want to approach it more from a perspective of ours. This is our Sweden, our village, our vision for who we want to be as people inhabiting this country. And, you know, if you want to include yourself in that, you're welcome. This is a non-excluding a way of looking at it. But if you don't want to include yourself in it, fine. But you know, this for me is countering the party that we don't mention, who is one iteration of this nationalism that that is very excluding and talks about this is my Sweden and you're not invited. I'm like, this is our Sweden. So that's what the kind of kom si kom sa bounces off that, you know?
Yeah, but let's talk about, so what I saw maybe 10 days ago now was that Sweden have a prime minister or not? Did he resign? Did he get voted out?
Sweden doesn't.
What does this mean?
Sweden does not have a prime minister. You know, the equivalent of a what's it called in the United States?
President.
The Trump narrative. When they vote, what they tried to do with Trump, when they have the president removed, I just can't think of the word. Impeached. This is the equivalent of Stefan Löfven, the prime minister of Sweden, was basically impeached. So, well, impeachment means that the president has committed some type of crime or done something that is illegal or not allowed. The Swedish prime minister was not impeached because he did something illegal or not allowed. Sweden was until recently governed by two parties, the Green Party and the Social Democratic Party. Yeah. But they're a minority government, which means that they had to rally support, and they did that from the Green Liberals, which is another party from the Greens, and the leftist party. And so the Green Liberals and the leftist parties, at the outset, when this government was formed, you know, three years ago, they negotiated to, like, the Green Liberals said, well, if we support you in becoming a minority government, you have to do this, and you have to do X, Y, and Z from our program, from our politics. And the left party said, yeah, and we want you to do A, B, and C. And there was one line in the sand for the left party, and that was making rents market, how would you say in English, to let the market
say what the rent level, taking away
rent stabilization. Exactly. Thank you, Marcus. And that was the one line in the sand that the left party had. Now, the Green Liberals, they got 72 of their points through. But the left, they said, we have one. And that's the point about rent stabilization. And, you know, when it came down to it and the Social Democrats were about to give away rent stabilization, they said no. So they together with a bunch of conservative parties who voted against this government for other reasons, they voted to have Stefan Löfven, the prime minister of Sweden, removed. So today, no government.
And what is the solution of that? Is it going to be, so there's going to be a re-election, or what's the next process?
Could be a re-election, could be a new prime minister. It could be that Stefan Löfven forms a new government, you know, maybe including the Green Liberals, or I don't know who. The Green Liberals, probably not the left. That's what he's been trying now, but he hasn't managed to do it. It could also be, you know, I'm not going to say the names, but, you know, could also be other people that step up to the plate. So I don't know. It's really an uncertainty. And Sweden is moving out of the pandemic slower than you are. So this, and at the same time, Marcus, you know, it's midsummer. It's the European Cup. Like, people, it's hot out, right? It's 25 degrees centigrade. Like, people are not reading the papers. Like, most people's eyes are not on that ball. You know, Marcus. So it's weird that all this is happening when Sweden kind of wakes up. You know how it is. These are the 2 months a year where we live up and live out, and the grills are, you know, people are grilling their dinners and drinking their rosé, sailing their boats, eating their herring, whatever they do. They're not concentrated on politics. And at the same time, it's all just really imploded. So it is a very uncertain time, but I think the fact that it's happening this time of year, people are not so worried.
Yeah, we have to also talk about, one are your icons, a musician that I loved, but you knew him much better than me, passed just recently. So Jason, tell us about, you know, it's really an icon in Swedish music, Peps Persson. He just passed away a couple of days ago. How did you hear about it, Jason?
I heard about it. Actually, a journalist called me up and said, you know, I have some sad news. Peps, we just found out that Peps Persson passed away, 74 years old. And, you know, do you have any comments or reactions to that? So, first of all, Peps Persson was a pioneer in so many ways. You know, he passed at the age of 74, which is, it's not a high age, but he lived for a long time. And he managed to really, really capture the hearts and minds of Swedish people to the point where even though he hasn't released any new music in, I think, a good 15 years, he's still very, very loved, you know, because he's written some of those undying, you know, everlasting classics like Högstandard, Falsk Matematik, Liden Såg, Stilden Opp, Hiris Kassan, you know, and he's truly a man of the people, you know. I don't know of any other Swedish lyricist who captured the just the common human perspective of being a human in the and trying to fend a life against this system or against in the system, you know, kind of a human against machine a perspective that he always had that I think really, I think that's why people loved him. He was just a mensch, yeah, as they say in Yiddish, yeah, you know. He was just so human. And, you know, Marcus, this is what I thought about, because I've obviously been blasting a lot of his songs since he passed. The guy had soul, man. I mean, there's no other way to look at it. He had soul. He had soul in a time where, like, you know, other than African-Americans or people who came here from the Middle East or from Africa, there was nobody in the Swedish, like, musical scene who really had soul, but... Peps, he translated blues into Swedish. Then he went into reggae. Then he went into like Zimbabwean folk music and Central African music. He translated a lot of Bob Marley's songs.
Yes, which I always had a problem with the other people doing that. But Peps for me was the only one that was like, he can do it. He can do it. You know, he stir it up, by the way. It's amazing. His version of Stir It Up.
Yeah, man.
It's, you know, I don't compare to Bob, but it's amazing in its own way, you know what I mean? It's the fact that he comes from Skåne too, which is pretty
exactly.
cool.
Exactly. Lest I forget, he's also from the South where I'm from. And, you know, back in the 70s, late 60s, he was singing in his very strong Southern dialect, which wasn't done at the time. And, you know, there's something to be said for legacy too, Marcus, when an artist has produced such powerful and touching material that 40 years later is still, people still love it like it came out yesterday. They make something and it becomes a classic, an evergreen, you know? Yeah. It's the same in food and definitely in music. I mean, same thing with Bob Marley. Obviously, he'll never, you know, Bob Marley will never die.
Peps is very, very, very special. And I thought about you right away because, you know, I think there's a couple of musicians in Sweden. In Gothenburg, we had a band called Nationalteatern, of course.
Yeah.
Comes out of that era. And of course, Cornelius Vreeswijk, that essentially was Dutch, but really became a Swedish folk artist. And then I always feel like you are the younger version of Peps because you guys come from the same era and you have fans from all backgrounds. And I know your man Mons, which was a huge Peps fan, and so I was, when I heard it, I was like, "Oh shit, Mons and Jason." This is
you know, Marcus, thank you for saying it. You know, I had the honor of working together with Peps on several occasions in the beginning of this millennium. We recorded the song "Dynamite" together, which came out 2003, and we actually went on tour together in 2003. And to this day, one of my most powerful performance and I'll say and concert memories are from 2003. Our tour, it was the last performance on our tour. We were playing at Stockholm University outside, big grass field. It was, you know, one of these long Swedish summer nights. So it was probably like 11 o'clock at night, but it was still light out. and thousands of people. And I invite Peps out for Dynamite. It was midway through my show, I would invite Peps out, we'd do the song, then I'd thank him, he'd go off and we'd end the show. He came out, and I've never had this feeling before. I was on stage, but I felt like I was in the audience, but I was also singing at the same time, and the response from the crowd, man. And this song, Dynamite, that we sang is a song about Swedish, the Swedish weapons manufacturer, Bofors.
Yeah.
Which was founded by Alfred Nobel, who invented dynamite and made a huge, huge fortune, which is why his foundation, you know, more than 100 years after his death, can give out the Nobel Prize. And so it's a powerful political song, but Peps also plays the harmonica on it. And, you know, beyond any of what we were, any of the words that we were, that I was rapping, that he was singing, when he played his harmonica, man, people were just, it was bananas. It's one of the most powerful, I think, musical experiences that I've had physically.
Who would you compare him to in America? The only one that I can, maybe not the same type of music, but the same spirit and relationship with the audience, I would say Willie Nelson.
Wow.
Probably.
Yeah.
Who would you say in America?
I was going to hit you with one, and that's Bill Withers.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because Bill also had that, he had that like kind of everyday perspective. Like he was never, you listen to Bill Withers, he's just so common, not common in the in the ordinary sense, but just he's just on both feet on the ground like you and I. You don't feel like Bill is singing over your head or under your head. He's not mad. He's just saying, you know, lean on me, you know, or whatever he's saying. Grandma's hands. It's just very deeply human in a way that Bill Withers was. And another thing similar between Bill and Peps is the fact that Bill Withers was a huge, huge star. He started late. I mean, I think he picked up and became an artist in his late 20s, early 30s.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I think he wasn't even 50, he retired. He didn't want to be a celebrity. He didn't want to partake in that life. And that's the same thing Peps did. And, you know, Peps hasn't done a show or released an album, I'd say, in at least 13, 14, maybe 15 years. And in a sense, I think Peps was done with being Peps. He's like, he lived in a little house in the middle of the forest here in the South. And I just think he was done with it. He didn't want to be on stage anymore. He was done. He had done his years. He had contributed what he had. He gave Sweden, just like Bill gave the world, he gave him the best parts of him. And it's like, no, I'm done. I don't want a camera in my face. I don't want to answer any questions. I'm good, you know.
And he never moved to Stockholm. Like he just stayed, you know. And, you know, from my little household, you know, we weren't even allowed to listen to Swedish music. We had to listen to American music.
I know Peps was allowed,
English,
though.
But Peps was allowed.
I love that.
Because he was cool, but also, I know, because my mom is from Skåne.
Yeah,
but he had rhythm, you know. He had rhythm with him. So it's like Peps, you can play.
You know, you talk about soul, when you talk about the soul, the Swedish equivalent of soul, you know. I remember, you know, the last time I met your mom. I just performed. You had opened a new place. You had opened Norda in Gothenburg. It was a huge opening, thousands of people there. And I had just gotten off stage. You were in the crowd, I think, with Maya and your mom. And I talked to your mom, and then another band came on, and she just she let go of her walker, was like pumping her fist, dancing, and we were just dancing together, man.
That
woman had soul. And you know, the more we do this podcast, I'm getting more and more of the facets of how she kind of curated your childhood experience and what culture went into her kids, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's a beautiful thing,
Marcus.
Yeah, no,
it's definitely. But Peps was allowed in anytime.
And anytime.
I just think that 74... You know, we want to say thank you, Peps, to everything you gave Sweden and even Swedish culture, because you know, when you hear his name, everyone just smiles. You cannot have a sad face. You just look like, oh, nice,
you know. And I feel compelled to use the word in its truest sense is that he was a hero of the people. Mm. And not a lot of people are, man. You know, not a lot of people are in that way. So, rest in power, Peps Pahson.
Rest in power.
This moment will never be forgotten.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Ever. But Marcus, let me ask you now, tell me about post-pandemic America. Because I saw footage from the BET Awards and it was like a full crowd, you know, it's like, what is post-pandemic America like?
Well, it depends what part of the country you're in, right? And I think that watching the Euros and watching 30, 40, 50,000 people in stadiums, in one way, I'm happy about it because it means life is slowly coming back, but I'm also worried. And this morning I spoke to my chef friend in Australia on What's Up, and Paul's like, we're going through a lockdown again in Australia because the new Delta virus is coming back. So Sydney is locked down the way it was 7-8 months ago.
Yeah.
And then, just like you said, events will start happening here in the States. So I think this cautious optimism where NBA has her audience in back, you know, it's NBA playoffs right now. So the audience is back in the arenas. And it really depends on who you talk to. Everyone is really absorbing this as we're back, but I think there is a nervousness inside that people don't really want to talk about, to be honest.
Are you going out? Are you still masked, or are you not wearing the mask anymore?
I'm wearing mask. I go out. A sign is wearing mask. I'm vaccinated, but I go out. And when I go out and go to work, I wear a mask. On set, when I've been shooting my show, we wear a mask and then we take them off. There's different zoning. You call it zone one. Then you can take your mask off. And I get tested every day. Every day I get this little set.
And are you going to restaurants? What is the restaurant scene looking like? What are they saying? Is Rooster open? Are Rooster Mondays going down?
So Roosters are back. We're not back fully, but we definitely have some musicians. We want Rakim and them to come back ASAP. But so outside, no mask. Inside, it's really up to you, right? Now, it's fully open officially. But people come through with a mask, and then when they have dinner, they take the mask off, and then they put it back on. And so it's this cautiousness of optimism that I think is in the air. A lot of more events are outside, like in the park, for example. The park is packed.
Man, if any summer, like summers in New York are always amazing. It's, you know, do the right thing, you know.
Yes.
If any summer I'd want to be in New York, I remember I was not in New York when Prince passed. And I was like, that was a time, like, this weekend, I'd like to be in New York. I mean, every weekend I like to be in New York, but especially, and I felt that way of like, New York is coming out of the pandemic. The greatest city on earth is coming out of the pandemic. It's going to be a special summer. But let me ask you, Marcus, because speaking to my friends in the restaurant industry in Sweden, one of the big problems that restaurants are having here is staff, because so many talented individuals have chosen to, during lockdown, we didn't even have lockdown, but during the pandemic and the duration of the pandemic, to either seek employment elsewhere, get re-educated, basically left. So a lot of restaurants in Sweden, you know, they're talking about the restrictions. You know, Sweden has been, restaurants have been allowed to be open until 8 o'clock, and then a month ago, they were allowed to be open until 10 o'clock. They're saying in a couple of days, they're going to open it up so that they can be open full time. But a lot of people can't open up because there's not enough bartenders. There's not enough waiters and waitresses. There's not enough chefs. There's not enough security guards, you know. Are you experiencing that?
No, it's the same thing here. It's very, very difficult to find staff. And we definitely have to reflect that on menu choices. We have to adjust openings. You know, hours of operation, for example, Red Rooster in Miami, we're not open for lunch, not because we don't want to, just because we don't have enough staff, right? So I think that's definitely mirrored in America as well. But eventually, all of that's going to come back because I know people want to work eventually. This has been, I respect that people took this moment to reflect and say, hey, maybe it's not worth it. Maybe I should be doing something else. But I do know that as an industry, we will self-regulate it. We'll figure it out. We have to ask ourselves hard questions. Maybe we have to maybe we have to set up our menus different. Maybe our guest interaction has to be different. But we're still an industry that we're going to figure this out. It's going to take longer than we want. But eventually, it will not go back to the old normal. It will be a new normal that is ours, right?
Yeah.
And what that is 100%, I don't know. But I know we're going to eat delicious. We're going to want to see each other at restaurants again.
We
want to talk to that bartender that we haven't had a chance to talk to for a year and a half or so. So
get the neighborhood.
I know everybody wants something to happen, that the business got to come back right away. I want that too, trust me. But this, we almost there, right? So there's so many things that I would like to have back. But I can't. At first, I have to acknowledge the privilege of staying healthy. Being fortunate.
And having, and still having a job, roof overhead, past these almost 18 months. Marcus, how did you feel when you found out about the sentencing of Derek Chauvin? It's a big one.
How do I even answer that? Well, on one way, he got sentenced in a way where this has never happened before, right? This has never happened that a police officer got convicted guilty like this. And when they called it manslaughter, like 22 years, what does that mean? It means 15 years. He's 45. That means that he's out when he's 60. I don't know. You know, I think that it's a process and... I was just feeling and thinking about two things. A, he would have gotten zero if it wasn't for a teenage young woman that had the guts to film it, because we all know that if we wouldn't have that video, nothing would have happened. So we're in this position because
somebody had the courage to stand up and testify to that and witness it, and also try to stop it as far as they could. Yeah. You know.
So that's, it's not that the law was amazing or no. We're here because she stood there and she filmed it.
The one thing I worry about, Marcus, though, you know, just a thought, is that to many people, or maybe the optics on this, you know, he was sentenced to 22 and a half years, like you said, a higher, what do you call it, punishment, a more severe punishment than any policeman I've heard of for any murder, you know, of an African American. But I hope that people don't take this as evidence that the system works, you know. See, we got the bad apple, you know. This was obviously an anomaly, a bad apple. And, you know, the system worked because we sent him to jail for 22 and a half years, 15, you know. When we know that this is not a question of bad apples or good apples, this is a question of a system that is constructed in a way to do this, you know.
And I thought also about Derek Chauvin's family that has to relive this again.
George Floyd's family,
I thought about George Floyd's family that has to relive this again and again and again. And, I mean, just my prayers goes out to the family. So it was, when it happened, I was like, what? And I thought I was very confused about the 22 and a half, because we all know people that, you know, for minor marijuana or something like that, got longer sentences than that. You know what I mean? So it's just a weird number. But I think hopefully this can be the turning point to a deeper conversation and deeper change, systemic change. And that's hopefully what I think the George Floyd stature means, where they have in Newark, and when they have, they're going to come up all over across the country. So I don't think this was in vain. I do think it had meaning, and it's going to spark change, not just conversation, actual change.
Let his name never be forgotten, you know.
Yeah. Before we wrap up, I need to know, on a completely different note, because we got to go out on positive.
Yeah.
Give me the tour dates. I just saw them. So it's like, how do you decide where to start? I really want to
know. The touring is weird, right? Because in April, I went out and told my band, I usually tour with a band called Damn. They're 8 people. I'm 1. So we're 9 people. We're like 5 technicians. It's big. It's a big machine.
Yeah, it's big production.
Big production. I told them in April, listen, guys, it doesn't look like there are any possibilities that festivals are going to be on this summer. Like, let's just not tour this summer. And 2022, that's also when we celebrate our 20th anniversary of performing together and touring together. So next year we're going to do a big. So let's just sit this one out because it's too uncertain. And then June 1st, Sweden now allows 500 people seated outdoors.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden, venues and concert promoters that were more like left field, like old Folkparker and little beachside, like kind of cafes with the capacity to seat 500, all of a sudden they started calling. And the fees have gone down like 75%, of course, because 500 people still isn't a lot when it comes to concerts. So I was like, I don't know what I can do. You know, my band can't move we need about twice
that.
Costs
a lot of money, of course.
We need about 3 times what they're offering to even be able to leave Skåne, you know. But I had been playing a bit with this jazz trio called Masaka Trio, young guys, Musa, Mats, and Leo. And brilliant guys, whole different sound than when I play with them. And I said, listen, guys, if it's 500 people, they're going to be sitting down. We can go out and give them the jazz set. That's going to be, mm-hmm. you know, something soothing and uplifting something beautiful to give the people. So that's what we're going to do. So from, and it's also, you know, usually in Sweden, because it's a limited market, small country, you will tour, like on a regular summer, you may perform Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Then you're off yeah. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and then you're back at it Wednesday. Now, from about July 30th, we're going every day for like 21 days. Mm-hmm. So it also wow. shows, and these are to venues and places that some places we've never been before and never would have been yeah. on a normal year either, you know? So it's interesting. It's, again, it's that thing where if you put a block of stone into a creek flowing down a hill, that's going to stop the water for a moment. And then that water is going to build up and spill over and find other yeah. ways to get down that hill, because that's what water does.
No, so it's going to be intimate then.
It's going to be intimate. It's going to be different.
Basically.
Yeah, it's going to be different. It's a different type of venues. Maybe, I don't know yeah. what type of crowd. It might be a different type of crowd, you know. I think it's dope
that you're doing yeah. it, Jason. It's really, yeah. even just me getting it on, like everybody else on your IG, I was excited about it. Mm. Just that moment when I got it, I was really excited about it. You sending out a message, you can't stop me, I'm going out there. Like, I just yeah, think the broadcasting of it, yeah. if I felt like that, I know thousands of other people's going to feel like that. Mm. So it's not, you might have to do it different this way, but yeah. this might lead to an unplugged album that you guys launch, or, you know,
exactly.
who knows
yeah.
what it's going
to
lead to.
Yeah. No, I feel the same way. And I'm really just grateful to that we even have a chance to come out and meet an audience, you know. So that's yeah. actually a very good note to end this on, Marcus. And also, last thing. I hope you've been checking the Euros. My man, Alex Isak, you know.
yes.
We got a
yes.
new one, Marcus. We got a new
yeah,
one.
Yeah, we got a new one.
We got a new yes. one, baby.
Between Dejan and Alex Isak, we're there.
We're there. Yeah. We're there.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.